everyone, and welcome back to DC Talk. This is episode number 130 here on December the 28th on 2020. And I am Mike, and I have Carrie. What's going on?
Hey, not much. Just, you know, sitting here talking to you and all that. It's all good.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, and look, this is my last DC Talk for 2020.
Yes, he's finally been fired. Okay,
I can't.
Just for a week and a half, he'll be back.
No, I will be back. So my awesome assistant Carrie will be taking over. Assistant to the regional manager. Wait, why did I say assistant? I don't even know why. I'm sorry, Carrie. I don't know why I said assistant.
I shouldn't allow my ego to be offended by this, but my ego is offended by this.
For some reason, I was thinking about Dwight Schrute when I was mentioning that, and assistant just came to my mind. I don't know why.
I need to talk to Tim. You really need to be fired for longer than
I should. Oh, I should be fired so bad. So my amazing co-host, Carrie, will
that be... That is better.
Soon to be only host for the show, probably. Will be taking over next week while I am out for Christmas. And then if she has anybody else on the podcast with her, that is up to her. And if she can get somebody, yep, they will probably do a much better job than I would. And I'll probably be replaced before I know it in 2021.
Although really, my episode next week maybe me just, you know, vaguely gushing about Wonder Woman 84.
Now listen. I can't wait to watch Wonder Woman 84. So, well, as far as network announcements go, there's not many network announcements, but I will say that we are recording our second episode of Enter the Dojo here soon, and we're going to be focusing on Cobra Kai Season 2, and yay, I cannot wait to dig into this. So let me encourage you all, if you haven't checked out Cobra Kai, to check it out, because I have theories about Season 3 that's coming in January, and I have theories about that too. And I'll talk about that on Enter the Dojo. All right. So I thought I'd make a quote. I get a quote this week, Carrie. And I did not quote Lex Luthor.
Yeah, but you're still quoting villains. This really, really makes me wonder about you, man.
But I quoted the Joker, but it's a good quote.
It is a good quote, but seriously, your habit of quoting villains is starting to get rather disturbing. I mean, my best friend also quotes villains, but she is a bringer of chaos, and I accept this.
Am I a bringer of chaos?
Yeah, you're getting there, dude.
I'm getting there. Well, I'm gonna quote the Joker this week.
Okay.
And such a good quote by Joker. It really is. So it says, some people want to see you fail. Disappoint them.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
It's Joker, so it's always going to be perfect.
Right.
So, all right. Well, Carrie, you ready to dig into some news tonight?
I am.
All right. Let's look at some news. First up, Matt Miller will be executive producer on the Suicide Squad spinoff series Pacemaker.
Peacemaker.
What did I say? Pacemaker?
You said pacemaker. like this is not a guy with a heart condition, man. This is, you know.
Okay, so.
Something completely different.
Pacemaker's on my mind as well about there's something else that's going on, but.
Oh, dear.
In Peacemaker, Matt Miller is going to be executive producing Peacemaker, as well as they've added four more to the cast of Peacemaker as well.
Yes, I saw this. This is interesting.
So, they added, I'm going to try to pronounce some of these names without completely butchering the pronunciation of these people, because that would be terrible to do. Chuck Woody Iwuji from When They See Us was a series regular. Lachlan Monroe from Riverdale, which I know him because I've seen Riverdale. Annie Chung from Shades of Blue, and Christopher Heyerdahl from Togo.
You know who Christopher Heyerdahl is, Mike, if you've watched any Stargate Atlantis.
See, I've never seen Stargate Atlantis. I've only seen the original Stargate.
Oh, well, never mind then. He's also guested on many, many sci-fi shows. He was a regular on Sanctuary. He's pretty recognizable, as he's under a lot of makeup.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember any. The only one I know from this list that I know I've seen is Lachlan Monroe, that played in Riverdale. But that's about the extent of who I know on this list. Mm. All we know is really who they're playing in the movie, in the show. We don't exactly know the extent of their characters. Very little has been said, but we do know a little bit about the people they're just playing. You know, different characters. Anyways. In other casting news, not really for Peacemaker, but for Superman and Lois, they have casted a Morgan Edge.
Nice.
And they casted Adam Rayner as Morgan Edge in the Superman and Lois TV show. Now, have you seen Adam Rayner in anything?
No, I don't think so.
So I know he was in The Fix. Let's see. He was in Tyrant.
Yeah, I haven't seen either of those.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it. Pierce Kennedy. Oh, he was in Walking Dead. Or no, Waking the Dead. I was saying, wait a minute. That's not. Let's see. And no, other than that, I really don't know him from anything. So, Morgan Edge. For those who don't remember who Morgan Edge is, Morgan Edge. We've seen him in Smallville. We've seen him in Supergirl. He was the guy that came to town that Lena Luthor, spoiler alert if you haven't seen, was it two seasons ago by now? He was the guy who came into town and Lena was just wanted to kill.
Edge Global. He was the guy from Heroes. Something or other.
So he was in season 3.
So they've just recast him.
Correct.
Which is fine.
Yes. Because it's a different universe now. The universes have collided because of Crisis.
That is true. So Adrian Pazdar.
Yes. Now I threw this next one in here for TV news because I just want to hear Carrie go off because, you know, she may not, but this deals a lot more with Carrie than me. So Carrie, what happened down in hell? Well, maybe not there, but
maybe not in hell necessarily. But so apparently Lucifer season 6 has remained in production despite 13 positive COVID-19 tests.
13.
And Mike, I'm sorry, but God damn it, Lucy.
I mean,
come on.
So is there like a limit on how many people have to have it before they shut down?
I don't know. And I don't know what the regulations are with regards to filming in LA. So I know they're
pretty strict over there, though.
I would hope so, considering that the LA County has been averaging like between 13,000 and 15,000 cases a day.
Oh my goodness!
Okay. Yeah, it's really bad. It's really bad over here. I don't know what's going on with this. But damn it, Lucy.
Well, per the report by Variety, they said that the positive cases have been mostly isolated and they're not considered to be part of a larger cluster or an outbreak.
Well, that probably has something to do with it. I mean, I just activated the tracking app on my phone too because it's like I said, it's really it's getting bad. We're at 0% hospital capacity, right? ICU capacity right now. It's fun.
Oh boy. So guys, in other words, don't go to guys, the hospital there if you can't go.
Yeah. Guys, take this bloody seriously. Stay the bleep home. And yeah. Don't be stupid.
Yes. Don't be stupid. Be safe.
There are vaccines coming. Just don't be stupid.
Until then.
Yeah, just you have a few more months to not be stupid.
All right.
Next
thank
on our
you,
list.
Thank you, Lucy, for that one.
Yes.
Hey, Carrie added this into the notes right at the beginning of the week because it kind of happened like right after we
finished
recording.
Yeah, right after we recorded last week.
The Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight movie has entered into the National Film Registry.
Yep. The Library of Congress.
Isn't that? I love that. As it should be.
Absolutely.
It's amazing it took it 12 years. This year, it's one of the 25 titles added this year, most influential pictures. Along those same lines, the list will also include like Shrek. Wow. The Blues Brothers. Okay.
Clockwork Orange, Grease.
Look at the full list. Here we go. None of these else I've seen yet.
Joy Luck Club. Yeah. Hurt Locker.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what a great honor. I think I've read somewhere that this is the first or second superhero movie to make it in there.
Huh.
For some reason, I heard that. I don't remember.
Well, everyone knows I'm not a Superman fan, but if the 79 Superman movie isn't in the National Film Registry right now, by now, it really should be.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought that one was, but this one may be the second one. I really need to look that up because I thought for some reason I had seen that somewhere. But I'll look that up. It's not really much to look up right now because. All right. So the next piece of bit of news we got, we're kind of moving into the movies here. Black Adam has also casted Quintessa Swindle as Cyclone.
This is not a character I'm familiar with. And although she looks familiar.
She does look very familiar. I don't remember where I've seen her from, but I do remember seeing her. Man, she does look very familiar.
I need to start leaving IMDb open.
We really do. She was Tabitha Foster in Trinket. She was in the TV show for like one episode of Euphoria. She just has that face that looks like maybe somebody that we've seen in another show before. That's what it is.
Yeah. She hasn't been in anything I've actually seen. But and Mike isn't going to get this reference at all, but she kind of looks like the girl who played Kendra, a younger version of the girl who played Kendra on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, Mike doesn't know who that is.
Now, I've seen Buffy, but I only got to, like, season 6?
Kendra was introduced in season 2.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember much of the
and
show.
She didn't last very long.
Yeah, I watched, we're not talking about Buffy, but I watched all the way to, like, the one where they're at the college, like, Adam, or something like that.
That's season 4.
Okay, that may be the last season I saw.
That's what happened. That season four is what happens when you give Joss a budget.
He blows it on a really bad looking cyborg.
I've said it before. I love Joss dearly, but sometimes you give him too much leeway, and he does some crazy stuff.
See, so in other words, whenever we're done with DC, eventually me and Carrie will just start a Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcast.
Ooh. Force me to watch the last half of season 7 again. It may take
Spike,
me that
baby.
Long. I love Spike. I love Spike. It's
I do too.
It's And I love Nathan Fillion, but the evil preacher at the end of season 7, I can't. He gives me nightmares.
But you know what's not giving people nightmares? Here you go. Oh, you like that segue? That was perfect.
I do like that. Wonder Woman. Great.
Wonder Woman 1984 is an early hit on Rotten Tomatoes.
Excellent.
And I love every bit of that. I am so glad it's been getting nothing but good reviews. I hadn't checked it in a couple days, so I'm going to go ahead and pull it up while we're talking about it. Probably by the next time you hear me or Carrie, we would have both have seen Wonder Woman 1984.
I'm watching it next Friday, man.
Hey, I'm watching next Friday too. That's my Christmas present to me.
Yep.
Right there.
Yep.
So let me see. Wonder Woman 1984 currently on Rotten Tomatoes as of December 20th at a little after 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. On Sunday night, well, Eastern, it has got an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's not bad.
No, it's not. So that's 108. It's 108 reviews. Mm-hmm. So I did not watch the 3-minute clip. I know a lot of people say
it's not spoilery at all. It's like the Amazon Olympic Games.
Okay,
that's it.
I know, but I wanted to like really wait till the movie came out to see anything from the movie apart.
Yeah,
from the
trailer. I understand. So,
but it was a pretty cool clip.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool clip.
Okay, all right. So I'm glad it's an early hit on Rotten Tomatoes. Our last bit of news as far as for Wonder Woman goes, Patty Jenkins had to change the ending of Wonder Woman last minute by Warner Brothers. All right.
Uh huh.
This concerns me a little bit because.
This is the first Wonder Woman. This is not 84.
Okay, I thought it was.
No. This was the first.
Wait a minute.
No. This was the first Wonder Woman movie. Apparently, the original indie was a bit smaller, not quite as flashy.
Okay.
They added that final bout that Warner Brothers basically made them add in that made her add in that last battle. At the last minute.
Okay.
And I hate saying that I can tell, but I kind of can't. Don't get me wrong. I love the Wonder Woman movie, but at a certain point it got to be where it was like, okay, some of the effects looked cool. Like when they were used sparingly, but it got to the point where some of the effects were used so much that it looked more like they were showing off. You're muted, dude.
Yes, I know what you mean. It's been a rough night recording, guys. Y'all are getting the inside peek.
Mike is so having issues tonight.
It's great. Tonight, issues every day.
Mike has publications. It's great.
Oh my goodness. Oh yeah, but I did notice that where they were just trying to show off now their budget.
Yeah so. and this is this doesn't help my opinion of Warner Brothers sticking their fingers in stuff with regards to the DCEU. So
now from everything
I'm glad it worked this mm-hmm. time.
The one time it works. Now, from what I do know though is that since Justice League, I don't think they've stepped in anymore. Now it's just they've let the directors direct. So like Shazam, Birds of Prey, Aquaman, Wonder Woman 84, they kind of let them alone, let them do their thing.
Yeah.
And we've seen those movies have been very successful.
Yeah, so maybe they can be taught. Maybe they're learning that if they let the creators do what they need to do and just stay out of it, they end up with a better movie.
Yeah. So enough about those movies. How about we talk a little bit about the Snyderverse? So we got some more information about Zack Snyder's Justice League. The first bit of information we got is that it might get a rated R theatrical release.
Sure.
Why not?
Why not?
People said it can't work, Joker works.
Well, and if it's a 4-hour movie, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm probably not going to go see it in the theater anytime soon. But
yeah.
I am the kind of person who will, you know, I saw each Lord of the Rings movie at least 6 times in the theater. I think I can manage to sit through Justice League.
Yeah. So
I went to see Gettysburg twice in a theater.
That's a long
movie. That's a 5-hour movie.
You know how many times I would have had to get up to go pee in that movie?
it even had an intermission.
And I'm not ashamed to say, I don't remember if I got up during Endgame. I can't remember. That was a while ago. It's been so long. So if it's going to be rated R theatrical, do you think we'll ever get it rated R on HBO Max?
Well, I'm sure it's probably going to be TVMA for HBO Max.
Okay. But you do think it'll migrate over to HBO Max, though?
Well, it sounds like because what they've been saying is that the Zack Snyder Justice League is going to be 4 1-hour episodes, right? So it's a 4-hour. It's going to be basically a 4-hour movie. So they just put it all together, and it's a 4-hour movie.
So what I'm saying, so what I'm getting at is, so we know that's coming. Zack Snyder's Justice League is coming on HBO Max in March of 2021. Yeah. So that kind of wraps up our next bit of news.
Yeah.
So it's going to come out in 4 1-hour installments, whether we're going to get 1 1-week,
uh-huh.
2 1-week, you know, however it's going to play out. It's probably going to be a 4-week thing, to be honest.
Right.
So are they going to make that the same version that he would put as a rated R in theatrical? Or do you think they're going to wait till after all 4 weeks play and then drop an MA version inside HBO Max with all 4 combined?
I don't know. I would not be opposed to either. I mean, jumping over to a different property. I mean, people have been saying that, the Siege of Mandalore storyline. For the last season of Clone Wars, would be amazing as a theatrical release, and I don't disagree.
Oh, I agree. It would be. It would be great.
Yeah, that would be great if when theaters are open again and functioning normally, in quotes, if they were to release Siege of Mandalore as one long movie, I would go see that. And once things are back to normal, I would go see a 4-hour release of Zack Snyder's Justice League in a theater.
And I would too. Mm-hmm. Let me think here. I was gonna ask something. I can't remember what it was. It's bad. I was really thinking about Zack Snyder's Justice League that happened. Oh, so a lot of people were in uproar when Dick Grayson on Titans, right, like the first episode of that show,
said where F Batman.
He said F Batman. Yeah, one reason this could be rated R is because Batman says the F word in the movie from what they're saying, and I'm sitting thinking.
That cannot be the only reason it would be getting an R rated. I have a feeling it's going to be R rated because of the violence. I think with a PG-13 movie, you could have at least one F bomb.
Okay. So I agree. I agree. Titans is rated MA, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. So Titans rated MA. Everybody was like up in arms over Dick Grayson saying that in Titans, yet nobody has an issue with it being the potential of Batman saying that word in Zack Snyder's Justice League. It's so funny to me how picky people
can be. I actually have seen a couple people a couple places say that no, that's not necessary, but I don't read those as often, so it's fine.
Okay. Well, it's just a thought.
Well, I mean, I hate gay real world and everything, but you know, there are people who are currently up in arms because certain people are using, certain women are using vulgar language, where, you know, other people have been, you know, saying far worse for years. So it's a stupid double standard. Yeah. And it's like the only reason I don't swear on this podcast is because I don't want Mike to have to edit me.
So much editing.
Yeah.
By the way, I do have that audio clip of of a couple weeks ago of your special voice.
I know you do.
I just hadn't found the right place to put it in there yet. It'll come one day. I'll be like, that's it. That's perfect. That's all of our news. Carrie, do we want to go ahead and talk about our last section here?
Okay, so our movie for this week is Superman Batman Public Enemies. This is from September 29th, 2009. When Lex Luthor gets elected U.S. president, he uses the threat of an oncoming kryptonite meteor striking Earth as a rationale to frame Superman. Ooh. And just from the standpoint of banter between Batman and Superman, this is my favorite movie ever.
Their banter was so freaking good.
They are fighting like an old married couple the entire time. It's great.
I had never seen this movie, and I was enthralled with their banter back and forth. It was so good. I mean,
and it's like, you know, this is like, you know, that was my best friend, and you just killed him.
Dude, like, he went off.
Oh, yeah.
After that one.
Yeah.
Oh, he called him his best friend.
Yeah. Aw. And you know, giant droids. I mean, the Tokyo version of Toy Man was kind of off the hook.
Look, Toy Man hitting on
Power Girl.
It was good to see Black Lightning.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't getting paid by, you know, Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
but
voiced by LeVar Burton, Jordy from Next Generation.
I did pick up on LeVar Burton's voice, so I did pick up on that. Of course, we also had, I can't remember his name now. That is
Kevin Conroy and Tim Daly as Bats and Soups. Yeah, we had Clancy Brown back as Lex,
and Allison Mack was there playing Power Girl. Mm-hmm. So it was a good, you know, it was a good movie.
It was. You know, I'm not sure what's scarier, Lex being president or the fact that he put Waller in his administration.
Yeah. No, I know what's scary. The fact that he wanted to burn the Earth down and start repopulate the Earth with Waller.
Well, that was the kryptonite talking.
Right. That was probably the scariest out of everything I've seen, because I've never seen that happen with Waller before in any movie or any iteration.
Yeah, actually, I changed my mind. That is the scariest thing, Waller being the voice of reason.
Yes, exactly. Waller, okay, yeah. Waller being... You crazy.
Yeah. Amanda Bleepy Waller being the voice of reason
in any DC property
in anything is just nuts.
Absolutely terrible. But Lex is the epitome of what happens when all power goes to your head.
Uh-huh.
I will say though that the plot for this movie and the storyline was really good.
I agreed.
Really, this one, and I'm excited to see maybe the next Superman and Batman movie. I can't remember what it's called, but this one was really good.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It was kind of ingenious, though, the way he used the meteor coming.
Oh, yeah.
To try to frame Superman.
Yeah, the proximity to all that kryptonite is messing with Superman's head. No, the kryptonite in your body is actually messing with your head, Lex. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Now, I never picked up on the fact that he was juicing until we saw him do it. Were there hints that I missed in the movie?
No, there was the injection gun that he looked at one point, but you don't actually see him doing it until Waller walks in on him doing it.
Okay. Anything else about this movie?
Superman and Batman impersonating Captain Marvel and Hawkman.
That was genius. My goodness. That was so fun. To me, the funniest thing was not Superman posing as Captain Marvel. The funniest thing was needed was to see Batman wearing Hawkman's outfit.
Oh, yeah.
That's what was funny to me, because he did not fit that outfit.
Yeah. Well, he did, and still had his face covered, but yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you hand? No, please don't. I hate when you do that.
And some of these lines in here were funny. So, like, Superman, Mongol wasn't his usual talkative self. Batman, and Grundy sounded like William F. Buckley.
William Shakespeare.
Yep. Batman, I suppose it's useless to tell you to leave. Superman, I wouldn't miss this for anything. Batman, your funeral? Superman, already had one.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor, you can't touch me. We're on American soil now, and I'm the president. Superman, consider yourself impeached. Of course, you already mentioned that was my best friend, and you just killed him.
Yeah. But of course, we're not going to kill Batman.
No. Lex, this one was funny. Toy Man had a nice sass to Lex Luthor. Lex said, it had been you, the one other person in the world smart enough to stop that meteor. Toy Man, the only person smart enough. You couldn't do it, remember?
Yeah. Ouch. Oh. Very sick burn there.
Yeah. And then Batman, you're going to go and meet with him, aren't you? Superman, you know me too well. I can't just stand back and do nothing. Batman, well, when it all goes south, don't count on me to save you. Superman, I won't. I know you pretty well, too.
Yeah.
I love
Batman comes and saves him anyway.
Right. I love that banter that you said. It was a good movie. I really enjoyed it.
I did, too. That was great.
And so our next movie up is not going to be next week because I won't be able to. So it gives me 2 weeks to watch this movie. Is Justice League Crisis on Two Earths. Good movie. Yes.
I've not seen this one.
It's been a long time since I've seen it. So now my opinions on it may change, but I have seen this movie. As far as I remembered, it was good. So
cool.
That's coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else, then, Carrie?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, this has been DC Talk, episode number 130. I am Mike. You can find me at the DC Mike on Twitter and also on Discord as well. Carrie, where can our peoples find you?
You can find me at Carrie Blackfire 42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire 42. Or you can find me on Discord.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us here on DC Talk. And we will catch you next time. Well, next week for Carrie. And I'll see you in 2021 for me. So, peace out, buddy.
Bye.